on his recent prank in which he appeared to get work done on his signature front teeth. That was Loose Talk, What the Stars Said This Week. All those articles were from the May 17, 2021 issue of Us Weekly. That concludes today's readings from Us Weekly. This has been Lydia Coppell for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7. Now airing on the Noon Book Hour, Recording Library of West Texas Radio proudly presents the novel which was the basis for the classic film starring James Dean, Elizabeth Taylor, and Rock Hudson. Giant, a novel. Giant is Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edna Ferber's sweeping generational tale of power, love, cattle barons, and oil tycoons set in Texas during the first half of the 20th century. When larger-than-life cattle rancher Jordan Bick Benedict arrives at the family home of sharp-witted but genteel Virginia socialite Leslie Linton to purchase a racehorse, the two are instantly drawn to each other. But for Leslie, falling in love with a Texan was a lot simpler than falling in love with Texas. Upon their arrival at Bick's ranch, Leslie is confronted not only with the oppressive heat and vastness of Texas, but also by the disturbing inequity between runaway riches and the poverty and racism suffered by the Mexican workers on the ranch. Leslie and Bick's loving union endures against all odds, but a reckoning is coming, and a price will have to be paid. Giant, a novel by Edna Ferber. Weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 65 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, it will be cloudy with a low in the low 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 15th. Securing Pipelines. Colonial Pipeline hack puts spotlight on cybersecurity efforts. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Cars lined up for hours at gasoline stations in the nation's southeast amid the shutdown of the Colonial Petroleum Products pipeline due to a ransomware attack underscoring the continuing threat of cyber attacks. The American Petroleum Institute told media this week, the incident underscores the vital importance of maintaining the nation's pipeline infrastructure and developing additional pipeline infrastructure. The industry association also pointed out that cyber threats are nothing new to pipelines, indeed to any industry. Any new regulations intended to address pipeline cybersecurity would be premature, the association said, saying flexibility is needed to allow companies to address the constantly evolving technology, hardware, and threats. A spokesperson for the Interstate Natural Gas Association of America told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, natural gas pipelines are critical infrastructure that move one-third of the energy consumed daily in the United States. INGAA member companies work around the clock to secure and protect this vital transportation network and the technology systems that operate it to ensure safe and reliable energy delivery to the hundreds of millions of Americans who rely on us. Our members' cybersecurity protections include implementing standards set by TSA and NIST, on-the-ground assessments administered by CISA, intelligence sharing with numerous government and industry partners, and establishing a security culture within our organizations with all employees active in prevention of cybersecurity threats. Following the cybersecurity attack on Colonial Pipeline, our members began monitoring their systems with enhanced vigilance and taking actions such as verifying their cybersecurity protections and backups were operable and scanning their systems for indications of the type of intrusion that was reported to have impacted Colonial. We are not aware of any impacts to natural gas pipelines as a result of this cyber attack. As we learn more about this recent event in the coming days and weeks, INGAA members are committed to continuing our efforts to identify and implement opportunities to further enhance our cybersecurity programs. End quote. Pipelines sought to assure that they have taken and continue to take action to protect their infrastructure from threats. Kinder Morgan, which has ownership of the products SE Pipeline, formerly Plantation Pipeline Company, said the pipeline remains online and in full service and is currently working with customers to accommodate additional barrels during Colonial's downtime. Quote, "We will continue to work under industry best practices and in coordination with our customers and regulators as the situation evolves," the company told the Reporter Telegram in a statement. Energy Transfer told the Reporter Telegram in an email statement that the company, quote, "has a robust cybersecurity program that is deployed at all levels of the enterprise to keep our assets secure. Continuous training, strong identity and access management structures, supply chain security assessments, endpoint protection, network segmentation, and a security operations center work together to ensure the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of our systems," end quote. Energy Transfer also cited its cybersecurity initiatives on its website's homepage in the aftermath of the Colonial Pipeline shutdown. Asked what impact a similar attack on a crude oil or natural gas pipeline would have, Rob Roberts, director in Opportune LLP's Process and Technology Group, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview that a crude oil shutdown would have a softer impact. He explained that crude oil is far up the supply chain and that refineries have a supply cushion that would mitigate any impact for a couple of weeks. As to natural gas pipelines, he said Texans got a taste of the potential shutdown in February thanks to Winter Storm Uri. Quote, "Depending on the season and where the attack was located, it would have an impact on power generation," Robert said. "Even in summer, we know ERCOT has difficulty balancing supplies if a plant goes down," end quote. The larger companies are addressing cybersecurity, he said. "The industry has been undergoing a technology transformation, adopting digital technology and placing cybersecurity at the top of their efforts, training employees, and hardening systems." Quote, "Many organizations throw in their own phishing attacks to test employees," he said. "Technology changes so rapidly," he said, "that by the time proposed legislation to address specific threats gets out of committee, those threats have become obsolete." Other challenges include the pipeline systems themselves. The Colonial Pipeline is 550 miles, but Roberts noted there are shorter lines that interconnect with it all along the route. Kinder Morgan mentioned its PPL line, and Roberts pointed out that was the merger of pipelines with different systems, meaning information technology management had to cover, quote, 10 bases instead of 2, end quote. Today, it's impossible to disconnect the oil patch. Drilling rigs, pumping units, and tank batteries are all capable of sending data to engineers and geologists hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away. And upstream and midstream companies can also communicate through digital technology. Without strong and ever-evolving cybersecurity in place, Roberts cautioned that interconnectedness could be their downfall. PPDC's Environmental Regulatory Seminar returns after a year off. The story was written by Mella McEwen. After taking a year off because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Midland College's Petroleum Professional Development Center is again presenting its annual Environmental Regulatory Seminar, this year in conjunction with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. The seminar will be May 20th in the Carrasco Room at Midland College's Student Center on the main campus at 3600 North Carfield Street. Registration begins at 8:30 a.m. New this year will be the presentation of the Bruno Hansen Midland College Award for Environmental Excellence being presented to Diamondback Energy. Aaron Van Everett Welch, PPDC director, told the Reporter Telegram by telephone that the seminar is a very appropriate venue to present the award and that the Hansen family said he would be thrilled to see it presented during the seminar. The seminar will feature seven agencies and three independent speakers who are expert in environmental issues. The final speaker of the day will offer an ethics presentation. Among those participating in the seminar is Tim Telk, supervisor with the Midland County Attorney's Environmental Enforcement Unit, who will speak on environmental criminal offenses. Quote, "Many people don't know that unit exists," Van Avera Welch observed. Agencies from Texas and New Mexico will be represented because, as she explained, quote, "We try to not just have Texas parties, but New Mexico representation as well," end quote. Most of the New Mexico presenters from the New Mexico Environmental Department's Discussing Major Sources Emissions Inventory to the New Mexico Oil Conservation Division's Discussing New Spill Rules and Produced Water Recycling Facilities will be virtual. The exception will be John Smitherman with the New Mexico Oil and Gas Association. He will travel to Midland to discuss New Mexico's new natural gas waste rules. Texas agencies participating in the seminar include the Texas Railroad Commission. Jeff Dubner, with the Railroad Commission, will speak about Rules 8, 20, and 91 on reporting pollution and remediation. Heather Fairbanks with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality will participate in the seminar. Ken McQueen with Kenergy Consulting will offer a presentation on shifting energy policies, and Mark Henkhouse with Permian Regulatory Solutions will discuss the Railroad Commission's Rule 40. Stephen Robertson, Executive Vice President with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, will present legislative updates from both the Texas and New Mexico legislative sessions. Van Avera Welch said organizers felt it was important to have an in-person event, though the college's COVID-19 protocols limit attendance to 85 people. Quote, "It's a great opportunity to network with industry and agencies, get your questions answered, and make contacts," she said. The focus on the environment has intensified in recent years as part of the growing focus on ESG, environment, social, and corporate governance, she said. Quote, "As a segue into ESG, E is one piece of the greater picture of sustainability and responsibility," she said. ESG can be confusing for companies, which prompted the PPDC to offer a course on the subject in June, Van Evera Welch said. Quote, businesses in the Permian Basin, especially the oil and gas industry, are increasingly being impacted by ESG, she said. I truly believe that embracing ESG will allow our local businesses and organizations to be more transparent about their business initiatives and to be more proactive in sharing their accomplishments. Our petroleum industry has constantly been on the defense with their environmental impacts, profit reinvesting strategies, and even their corporate social responsibility. ESG is the opportunity to be on the offense, end quote. The regulatory will be especially helpful, she added, exposing companies to state regulatory agencies and giving them a greater understanding of how those agencies work, making their work more efficient. It could also benefit the communities where the companies work, she said. Quote, it's boots on the ground that affect the output of the companies, not just production, but reports, she said. Laredo Petroleum acquires Howard County leases, sells some reserves. Laredo Petroleum Incorporated has signed a purchase and sale agreement to acquire the assets of Sabalo Energy LLC, a portfolio company of NCAP Investments LP, and a non-operating partner for approximately $715 million, subject to customary closing price adjustments. The price is comprised of $625 million in cash and approximately 2.5 million shares of Laredo Common Equity. Additionally, Laredo announced the sale of 37.5% of its operated proved developed producing reserves in its legacy leasehold in Reagan and Glasscock counties to an affiliate of Sixth Street Partners LLC for proceeds of $405 million and additional potential cash flow based earned out payments over the next 6 years. None of the PDP reserves are in Howard or Western Glasscock counties. Both transactions are expected to close July 1, 2021. The Sabalo acquisition includes 21,000 contiguous net acres, 86% operated, 100% held by production, directly offsetting Laredo's existing Howard County leasehold and 120 operated oil-weighted locations and 150 non-operated locations. Approximately 83% of the locations are capital-efficient long laterals of 10,000 feet or greater. The leases are currently producing 14,500 barrels of oil equivalent per day of low-decline production, with an estimated next 12-month oil decline of 35%. The acquisition also offers proved developed producing reserves of approximately 30 million barrels of oil equivalent. Quote, the transformational impact for Laredo of the combined transactions is significant, stated Jason Pigott, President and Chief Executive Officer. Quote, upon closing, we will be positioned for sustainable free cash flow generation and significant deleveraging, have more than 30,000 highly productive contiguous net acres in Howard County, and a near-term pathway to increasing our oil cut to more than 50% from the current 30%. Additionally, we will be applying our ESG best practices to the development of this acreage, maintaining our prior commitments to reducing greenhouse gas intensity, methane emissions, and eliminating routine flaring, end quote. Divestiture of the gas-weighted assets brings proceeds of $405 million from 6th Street. The divested reserves include approximately 94 million barrels of oil equivalent, 18% oil, with associated production of approximately 25,000 barrels of oil equivalent, 23% oil, at closing, Laredo retains all undeveloped locations.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 16th, 2021. Texas Bounces Back by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. I just finished an hour webinar with Dallas Federal Reserve economist Keith Phillips. Texas is coming back better than other states from the COVID crisis. Texas continues to benefit from an influx of migrants from California and New York. The new work-from-home ethic has funds buying single-family homes for rental purposes. The drilling rig count is up. The demand for fuel with people coming out of COVID is driving crude oil prices higher. As I write Friday afternoon, West Texas Intermediate crude is trading at $65.31, up $1.49 from just yesterday. Our target for a June high is in the low 470s. My lengthy list of energy stocks is bright green, up for nearly every company. Energy ETF XLE is near a new high of $53.64, up from last November at $28. Even the energy service sector has finally rallied. Energy service ETF XES corrected from $55 to $50 and has now rallied back near $60. This is a great performance mix for new wells in the Permian Basin, as well as support services for existing wells. Unleaded gasoline is hitting new highs around $2.20. The outage at Colonial Pipeline and demand for more travel is supporting higher prices. The major stock indices had a three-day correction. This sets the markets up for a final run to what should be at least a multi-month high in June. Look for the Dow Jones Industrial Average to hit a new high above 35,000. The S&P may rise to 4,500. Our outlook for lower bond prices, higher interest rates, is probably on hold until July. Political social mood continues to worsen between the two national parties. Israel is mounting a major offensive against Hamas. It is hard to imagine a successful meeting between Biden and Putin, given Biden's recent remarks about the Soviet leader. How long before the negative political comments seep into Wall Street? The Economist. The Count by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Results from the 2020 census are beginning to surface. These statistics are far more than a matter of interest. Not only is the number of representatives in the U.S. House tied to the count, but also funds from a variety of federal programs. Trends are also crucial to planning and decision-making across a broad spectrum. While the data is still being compiled, and it will be a while before we know the full story and the inevitable lawsuits that are often settled by adding more people, some patterns are emerging. Over the 10-year span, the population of the United States grew from 308.7 million to 331.4 million, representing a 7.4% increase, the lowest rate since the 1930s, and the second lowest ever. Texas saw the largest change by a wide margin, adding about 4.0 million residents to top 29.1 million in 2020. Florida was next, up 2.7 million, followed by California, nearly 2.3 million, and Georgia, 1.0 million. Three states actually saw population shrink over the decade: West Virginia, Illinois, and Mississippi. In terms of growth rates, rather than absolute increases, Utah and Idaho were the top two, with gains of 18.4% and 17.3% for the decade, while Texas was third with 15.9%. For a state with such a large base to also rank near the top in percentage change is quite remarkable. By contrast, the most populous state, California, ranked 24th. With a 6.1% rate of increase. Because of the increase, Texas will gain two additional representatives in Congress. Several other states will add one: Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon. While others lose one: California, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. Major categories of federal funding tied to the census include health care, housing, food and nutrition, education and job training, infrastructure, and social and protective services. All of these areas are critical to ongoing economic expansion and quality of life. Moreover, funding for such initiatives fosters downstream effects. For example, nutrition, education, social services, health care, and other programs can enhance productivity and efficiency, improve overall health, further enhancing productivity, and decrease stress on social service systems. The new data will help ensure Texas receives a significant share of federal funds, although the decision by the state government to provide limited support for the effort likely resulted in an undercount and potentially loss of a third new representative. Some of the variation in growth rates across the nation is driven by demographic patterns and rates of natural increase. Another key factor is economic expansion and job opportunities leading to in-migration. Adding 4 million new Texans indicates that the state remains a great place to live and work. Let's keep it that way. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Should everyone eat gluten-free? By Dr. Rafiul Samir Islam. Gluten-free foods are a hot commodity in today's society. You may be wondering if you should hop on this diet trend. But is a gluten-free diet as healthy as the food industry makes it out to be? Keep reading to learn all about gluten and if a gluten-free diet is right for you. What is gluten? Gluten is a group of proteins found in the following grains: wheat, barley, rye, and triticale, a hybrid of wheat and rye. It helps foods hold their shape by forming a glue-like substance. Foods with gluten. Gluten is present in all food products that use wheat, barley, rye, and triticale flours. This means that bread, crackers, pasta, bagels, wraps, breakfast cereals, and baked goods often contain gluten. Other lesser-known foods with gluten may include condiments, soy sauce, cream sauces, ketchup, malt vinegar, barbecue sauce, beverages, beer, malted milkshakes, coffee creamer, soups, food coloring, chips, granola bars, candy, veggie burgers, hot dogs, ice cream, fried foods, French fries, fried chicken, fried fish, mozzarella sticks. In some cases, naturally, gluten-free foods may contain traces of gluten due to cross-contamination. For example, oats can be contaminated if grown alongside wheat or processed on the same machinery. What is a gluten-free diet? A gluten-free diet is a diet that eliminates all foods with gluten. It includes only gluten-free foods such as gluten-free whole grains, quinoa, buckwheat, sorghum, rice, alternative flours, almond flour, chickpea flour, coconut flour, fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, seeds, eggs, fresh meat and fish, dairy products. Many manufacturers label packaged foods as gluten-free per the FDA's regulation, making identifying gluten-free foods easier. However, not all gluten-free foods contain this label. Is gluten bad for you? Gluten is not bad for most people, but people who suffer from the following conditions may benefit from avoiding foods with gluten. Celiac disease. This condition is an autoimmune disease. Your body attacks itself whenever you digest gluten. This causes the villi in your small intestine to fall off, which prevents you from absorbing essential nutrients. If you continue to eat gluten with this condition, you may experience nutrient deficiencies, anemia, osteoporosis, infertility, and lymphoma of the small intestine. Non-celiac gluten sensitivity. This condition has similar symptoms to celiac disease.